Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's Thursday, April 8th, 2021. John Carlson of the Capitals at 2:45 and the Director of External Affairs with Monumental Sports and Entertainment trying to get some fans in the stands for the Caps and the Wiz. You'll hear from Monica Dixon in the 4 o'clock hour at 4:25.
Good luck to Monica. Keep chopping that wood with an axe with no edge. But let's just see. Whatever D.C. government decides to do, you'll be subject to their whims. Happy golf, big golf day to the golf people. If you like golf, congratulations. You get golf and you get all the other people that pretend to care about golf for, 72 hours or so. This has got to be fun for you guys. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. Weather's nice. Enjoy your golfing.
You're not happy for them.
I am.
I can tell by your voice you're not happy.
I am. It's okay for people to be happy with things I don't like. I don't like it. I have no interest in it. I wouldn't watch it if it was on television in our room, and I just changed it to a Mets game, by the way, in our studio. I have no interest in it. I think it's irrelevant and shouldn't be talked about. But golf people like the golf. Enjoy your golf.
A couple of quick questions for you on the 85th installment of the Masters.
How wouldn't have gotten that.
How many participants do you think are taking place in the Masters?
78.
You're close.
Is that right? I threw a number out there. I have
88.
No idea. 88, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How many past winners are in the field?
7.
18.
Oh, okay.
How many first-timers are participating in this year's Masters?
26.
6.
Oh, damn.
Very close. If you were going to get within one, then I would have given you a dollar.
No money should change hands over that.
Tiger Woods still recovering, but he's on everybody's minds as they show up.
Let's go. Hope he's okay.
Dustin Johnson, he broke the record winning the Masters at minus 20 last time in 2020, so he's one of the favorites. Here's a good question.
Okay.
How many golfers have ever gone back-to-back as champions of the Masters?
I happen to know this. I don't. 3.
On the money,
yeah!
Danny. Name them. Name the 3 guys that have ever gone back-to-back winning the Masters.
Tiger.
That's 1.
Think of old time. Jack Nicklaus.
That's 2. If you nail this, we go home. We walk out if Danny hits the 3rd one.
Think of an old-timey golfer guy.
Tell CK, call Craig back. Because if Danny hits this 3rd one, we're both going home for the day.
I'm going to say, I'm trying to think of an old-timey golfer that wasn't relevant then or now. I'm going to say Ben Hogan.
You're wrong.
Okay.
We were so close to going home.
Was it Arnie?
Nick Faldo.
Oh, Faldo. Of course, Nicky Falds.
Looking for Nick Faldo.
Nick Faldo.
Which one had knee surgery less than a month ago, and everyone's over talking about his amazing recovery because it was supposed to have taken months, but he's in the field today?
So I've seen a lot of stories about Bryson DeChambeau. I'm going to say Bryson.
You're wrong. Bryson DeChambeau is the guy I want to win. I've told you about him. He's the guy that's
changing golf. No, he hits bombs. He hits bombs.
He hits bombs, but
he's
all the golfers
Gilmore.
Hate him because he trains differently, and he's not part of the boys'
club. I love that, by the way.
Oh, he's my favorite.
I love how they get so fatutsed.
For the reason so that ruffled. You'd imagine, yeah. Because they all hate him because he's not one of them. I want him to win every tournament. I'm looking for Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka.
That'll do it.
He looks
for
like me, by the way.
Masters quiz.
Brooks Koepka's like a stocky wide body like me.
Is he?
Yeah, I think.
I thought he was pretty ripped, actually.
No, wait. I didn't mean to. Okay. I think he's like a wide, kind of doughy dude. He may be like an athletic guy. He's more athletic than I am. I'm not saying that anything about that. I'm not trying to compare myself. I'm saying, like, he's a wide body. Look, take a picture.
I don't know if I want to.
Look at a picture. Google Brooks Koepka shirtless, please.
You're asking me to do something that is not worth my
time. Fine,
energy.
I'll do it. I'm going to go Brooks
If you
Koepka.
Find a Brooks Koepka picture.
How do you spell Koepka?
You spin it around to me, and I'll take a peek at it.
Brooks Koepka shirtless.
I think he's got muscles.
I'm sure he does.
Okay, but you said he looks exactly like you. Do you have abs? You have
no. All right,
guy?
I'm wrong. I'm wrong about
What's
that guy.
What's he look like?
See, I thought this was...
You're thinking of John Daly.
No. I was thinking of this guy.
Bryson DeChambeau?
Come up.
I'm over whatever's happening right now, though.
Oh, that's John Daly. No, that's a different guy.
I don't
know what this is. Take me away.
All right.
I've already hurt my brain with all this golf discussion.
If you would have told me we were going to lead our show with this much golf, I would have lost a lot of money on that bet. Looking forward to talking John Carlson. 2:45. I want to ask him about getting fans back in the stands, Capital One Arena. Want to get an update on vaccinations for the Capitals. Is it weird or not? I was watching a baseball game last night, and the commentator said he was uncomfortable because he was watching a Zoom, and one of the players were asked if they were vaccinated. And I thought about this because Josh Allen did an interview with Kyle Brandt of NFL Network, and he asked him if he was vaccinated, and Josh Allen actually said that he isn't, and he's not sure if he's going to, and he's not sure yet. He's got to do research on it. And he's getting a lot of heat for it, as you'd imagine, in today's day and age when you don't say what everyone wants you to say. Should we be asking players if they're vaccinated or not? Like, John Carlson's coming on at 2:45. Is that a fair question of John Carlson?
That, what you're asking me, is a great question.
Like,
I
feel like it...
No, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I actually don't know the answer to that.
I'm not saying it's my business. It's his own decision. It's his own health. But as a fan trying to get invested into a team and to try to figure out if you're going to get started or stopped, you know, if the season's going to come crashing down a la the Nationals anytime now, it's something that I'm interested in.
I'm very interested,
how many Capitals are vaccinated?
So among
Who do
our...
I have to worry about not being available in the playoffs?
Right, so among my, like, parent community... Of all the kids at my school and everything else, it's a very normal, commonplace question. Not in a, so are you going to decide to take it? It's not in that way. It's a, hey, man, I know you're as desperate as everybody else because we're climbing all over each other to get this scientific miracle that's available to us so that we can go eat a cheeseburger outside again. What's your status? I saw a dude yesterday. Great guy. Guy named Dave. Parent of multiple kids in my son's school.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Dave? I was like, hey, where are you at? He's like, I got my first one. Second one is next week, man. Can't wait. And I was like, actually, we were really lucky. And I told him my story.
No, it's a fewer normal... than 20 people have asked me in the last week if I've gotten my first shot yet.
Right.
It's not, in my opinion, any kind of personal affront. It's not an invasion of my privacy. But I understand the broadcaster's point, even if I don't completely agree with it, where he says, it's kind of weird to me that a guy's sitting there at a podium doing a press conference for a sporting event and someone said, are you vaccinated yet? Because you know what happens is the next thing is people are going to take whatever his answer is. Now, a lot of these guys just haven't gotten their name called yet.
Right.
But if you do what Josh Allen did and you say you're not sure if you're going to be vaccinated or not, you don't know how you feel about it yet. Well, next thing you know, you're kind of in the middle of another conversation. So I don't know. But he's on the show at 2:45. If that's something that is.
No, it's a fair question, honestly, for our society at this point. We don't have good defined rules. It used to be like, you know, it's bad form if you're at dinner to talk religion, politics, this or that. Now everyone's like, you're not allowed to be silent about anything at any point in time. So we're doing that, but now we're still invading privacy. Now we're asking personal questions because it's on everybody's mind. That's what's on America's mind right now is the vaccine.
I know this guy. He's got a beard that's always pretty well manicured, and he gained some weight during the pandemic.
I think I know who it is.
He does a radio program.
Yeah.
Of note.
It's Grant.
That guy?
Yeah.
Still a big believer in the, I ain't talking about any of that stuff you just talked about.
Right.
At the restaurant at dinner. Still a believer in that policy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Some of us are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into the Nats. Some other things I want to hit on today include the Washington football team quarterback situation. A lot of rumors, a lot of reports coming out on that are directly conflicting. Albert Breer says Washington will not trade up. Mike Lombardi says Washington's in love with Trey Lance and is going to trade up into the top 10.
Going to go and get his ass, I believe is what Mike Lombardi said.
Those two things can't both be true.
They're fighting.
I'm not saying that one of them made it up. They may have had people from the organization tell them that, or sometimes from other organizations via hearsay, tell them that. But for one renowned reporter to say they're not trading up, they feel good about their quarterback situation. And for another, not a reporter, but a former GM who's in the NFL media circle who gets a lot of inside intel, to say not only are they going to trade up, but I know the quarterback that they love, and his name is Trey Lance, and I'm yelling it into a bullhorn. Two things.
I took note.
Very, very different outcomes here. Which one do you want to be true? We could tackle that today. How about the Nats? They win opening day. We haven't talked since Juan Soto walked everybody off with a win, which was cool.
Really fun.
And then they have the doubleheader against the Braves. Yesterday, they lose 2 1-run games. I should say 2 1-swing games. They lose by 1 run in game one, and then Pablo Sandoval hit a 2-run homer in a shutout loss in game two yesterday. Combined 3 runs in the 2 deficits that they couldn't overcome. Very frustrating because even with your B squad, that series was there to be had.
Sure.
You get Eric Fetty a nice cushion and a nice lead. You give him a 3-run lead after a 4-run first. He's already pitched poorly. You come out, you bail him out, you take a 3-run lead, you give him the ball back, and he immediately goes and can't get out of the second inning and blows the lead. You're playing catch up the rest of a shortened game. And then yesterday afternoon with Strauss on the hill, dynamite. Best changeup in the sport, throwing it about 19% of the time, utterly unhittable, goes 6 innings. If he pitched 13 innings yesterday, the Braves never would have hit him. They had no chance. And it didn't matter because the Nats couldn't get anything going on offense with a lineup that on paper looked like it was going to struggle.
Right.
And then it did.
Emblematic of where they are right now without reinforcements. Right? In that day is what's going to ail them until everybody comes back. Right? Where in a day that you get 6 runs. In the day you get 6 runs with a makeshift lineup, Eric Fetty has to take the ball. I'm good on whatever that is. If he has to take the ball in meaningful situations, you're not going to have much success. That's just kind of where we are at this point. Nice dude, belongs on a major league roster. Probably where he should be settled is kind of that long man. You're down by 12 runs at the end of a road trip. You fire him out there and eat some innings, dude. So that's why they lost that first game, because Fetty didn't give him a chance. The second game, the offense didn't give Strasburg a chance. when you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And this was sort of on display yesterday. So, honestly, a lot of good signs out of there. Trey Turner hitting for pop. You come middle in on Trey Turner, it's going over the fence. That was good. Victor Robles walked four times over that series. That's good. Strasburg, who didn't pitch pretty much at all last year, was really good. I was actually fairly encouraged by a lot of things.
Yeah, I actually want to play that game with you, and we can open up the phones on this next as well. Were you encouraged or discouraged by the Nats' opening series against the Braves? 800-636-1067. You can call in now on the Gambit DC listener lines. There's two ways to view this. Davey Martinez said it after the game. We can look at it as, well, we're in all three of those games. We win one. We should have probably won one of the other two in a series in which we're taking on a playoff team in Atlanta that's won the division three straight years, and we're without 11 guys. People said, oh, no, the Nationals aren't going to be able to compete right now, and they should have taken the series. That's the positive, the glass is half full.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that is you look at it and you say, you have to take one of those two games. That's a killer that you don't. You lose the series. And to your point, all of the fears going into the start of the year over the first couple of weeks that they're not going to get enough from the bottom of the order, that anybody other than Strasburg and Scherzer isn't going to be reliable or trustworthy in the rotation, some of that stuff already reared its head. Like you mentioned the first of the two games yesterday. They scored six runs in the loss. Even in that game, after the five spot in the order, Starlin Castro.
Yep.
So all the major leaguers hit one through five. That's Robles, Turner, Soto, Zimmerman, Castro. After that, the Hernan Perez, Luis Garcia, Stevenson, LaCroix part of the lineup, a combined 1-for-12. Nobody should be surprised by that.
Right.
That this is what we're doing right now. Hernan Perez was not supposed to be in the big leagues. Luis Garcia got sent to the minors. Andrew Stevenson will be playing much of the year at AAA or watching from the bench. And it's not personal. These are good dudes who have roles, and Stevenson's going to be an asset to this ball club in the role they'll carve out for him as a bench player. Right now, he's playing every day. So in the first game of the season, he has this great game. Awesome. Unexpected. A plus. But if you play every day, you're going to become the back of the baseball card. Jonathan Lucroy isn't going to deliver the multi-run RBI hit that he delivered in that first game every game. That's why he was not in baseball at 34 years old on Saturday afternoon before they called him. So, yeah, it caught up to you. And then they just didn't hit at all in the final game of that series. And we've talked about this. They need Juan Soto, Victor Robles, Ryan Zimmerman, Trey Turner, Starlin Castro. Those guys have to hit and drive in their runs. Turner had home runs in their first two games. Juan Soto had a run-scoring hit to win the game. As you said, Robles drew walks and got on base. Zimmerman was raking and then didn't play in the final game, which I didn't enjoy that at all. But he's old, and you got to take it, you know.
You got to do that, I guess.
Be careful with his body. And so I know how we got here. But they ended up with two hits all game. One from Soto and one from Strasburg.
Strasburg.
That was the list.
Yeah.
No one else had a hit in the final game of the series.
So, again, it just goes to show you. There are more days than not, stars carry Major League Baseball teams, right? Guys that are hitting 1-5 or 1-6 in an order, they'll do something 2-3 times a week or enough to put some runs across the board. They're going to be offers, though. That normally happens. That happened to be in the second game of this series. That's why you need length in your lineup. It can't be easy to go through you, and it's easy to go through them right now. After you touched on it, the fifth spot in the order, Hernan Perez, Andrew Stevenson, name that AAA Timmy or Jonathan Lucroy as a backup catcher and a pitcher, that's not Major League caliber. You need Major League caliber. And if you're good, you need beyond Major League caliber. You need good hitters stashed back there, which they don't have at this stage. And that's why you lose that second game of that doubleheader. And even that first game, right? You weren't able to add on after a really nice beginning where you knocked Max Fried around and the ace of the Braves. But overall, given where they are, they still battled back a bunch of times. They still had their walk-off. They still had their we're not out of it kind of mentality. That same personality we saw in 2019 where they don't quit. I would say annoyed, obviously, that they lose 2 out of 3. I hate that. I hate losing to the Braves. It drives me crazy. Not as much as losing to the Mets, but I still hate it. The Braves are really good. But there's a lot of things where I'm going, well, yeah, you can't fix Andrew Stevenson without not playing Andrew Stevenson. You can't fix that until some of these guys are eligible. And I'm hoping that it's at some point here on this road trip. It sounds, I heard a couple encouraging things that says it might happen sooner rather than later. I'm hopeful.
I am encouraged by how they played, for sure. What makes it hard to say that I feel good coming out of the series, though, is just the upcoming schedule. First and foremost, that you're in Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers.
Yep.
So they're off today. And then your series begins tomorrow with Joe Ross pitching in L.A. against Walker Buehler. I don't have to tell anybody that that's a game on paper that you don't have a great chance to win. Hopefully
it's also,
you do.
It's also a game in real life, in addition on paper.
Right. The day after that, we don't know who's starting for the Nationals yet. Probably Austin Voth, I would think. And you're going to be going up against Julio Urias, who got the final out as a dominant arm in the postseason in the World Series. Again, now you're playing the best team in baseball, reigning World Series champions. And until the third game of that series, you're not having a guy that was supposed to have been in your big league rotation throwing well as a non-fifth, sixth, seventh starter in your organization on the hill against some really good pitchers for L.A. And that's what makes it a little bit worse that you couldn't get one of those yesterday.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
Pretty quickly, you can see potentially being 1-4. You got to get one against L.A. You just have to. You can't get swept in those three. So maybe Max plays stopper this weekend or something. But that is the worrisome part about getting off to a slow start was I anticipated losing two or three to the Braves. I just didn't think they'd be in those games. They'd be leading in the second of the three the way that they were, that they'd hit the way that they did at the top of the order. That's what makes it hard. But let's take the calls next. Are you encouraged or discouraged? Nats dropping two of their first three against the Braves. John Carlson at 2:45 and at 3 o'clock. Dueling reports on what Washington is going to do in the draft. One reporter saying they're trading up for Trey Lance. Another saying that they are not trading up. No chance, no way, no how. We'll try to figure out which of those two reports we like better. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Grant, he's Danny, this is The Fan. We are both in our D.C. studios on Half Street, completely refurbished, revitalized, and new-looking area of town, I gotta say.
It's different every time, man. It's amazing.
Just came down today, did a little walk again, found another three or four new places. I went and got deodorant at a CVS pharmacy.
Hey, look at you.
A block away that didn't exist the last time.
Did it exist the last time you were here?
It did not.
Does it exist now?
It does.
There you go.
That's how we do it. Gambit DC listener lines are open. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. BetQL guest hotline will be occupied by John Carlson coming up at 2:45, but we've got some time for you right now at 800-636-1067. Encouraged, discouraged by the Nats. To be succinct, I'm going to go encouraged, and I'm going to do that because if you would have told me before the series started, down 11 guys, no first baseman, no second baseman, no left fielder, two of your five starters in the rotation, no closer, and some other bodies, that you were going to take opening day and play within one or two runs in both of the other two games, I'd feel really good about that. I cannot help but feel like they left a win on the field.
Yeah, and I'm annoyed.
Kill me when they start 2-7 and it could be 3-6, which would feel a little bit better. But I will take it. I'm encouraged. There was a lot of good.
Encouraged. Because some of the variables that we had this season, right? Victor Robles is the biggest one for me, probably. Because he needs to graduate into a star. That's what happens. That's what organizations do. When other guys move on, your young players have to step in and turn into studs, like Soto, like Turner has. It's Robles' turn. Good opening weekend for him. I'm encouraged also because Strasburg came back and threw well. So overall encouraged, but I'm with you. I'm annoyed they didn't get 2 out of 3.
David, Fairfax, you're on Grant and Danny. Thank you for the call.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Bob.
So I want to preface this by saying I'm encouraged because some of the things I'm going to say are going to come off negative. But honestly, I was thinking yesterday after watching it, I was thinking this is my worst-case scenario as a Nats fan. You know, they came out, they fought, but they couldn't get it done. So they're stringing me along, and I have a lot of hope for a good season, but they weren't able to execute. Now, of course, all, you know, the missing 11 guys and all the surrounding stuff around it still leaves me overall encouraged, but I just think it's kind of a classic stringing me along scenario right here, and I'm not a huge fan yet.
Appreciate you, buddy. It needs to be noted for people that are listening and thinking, is this what these guys do after every series? They're going to live or die based on the result? No, is the answer. I mean, baseball is different than other sports. Such a marathon, over 6 months, 162 games. The reason for the conversation, though, is there's a good chance that they're going to be playing at least a week, maybe closer to 2 weeks, undermanned. And if it's a disastrous 2 weeks, it could actually cripple their chances to get where they want to go at the end of the year. They have to put enough hay in the barn. Effectively, they have to stay afloat for these next couple of weeks with a lot of guys missing to just give themselves the chance to get hot and get on a roll and accomplish their goals on the back end of that. If you were to start the season somehow, you know, 1-10 or 2-12, you're trying to make up for that for months thereafter.
Yeah, just ask the Wizards how that goes.
It's really, really hard to do. You're playing catch up. So they need to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's why we're having this conversation. Does it look like, with teams like the Dodgers coming up on the schedule, there's enough here for them to stockpile some of those wins that they need? A few things I'm encouraged by. I liked what I saw from Starlin Castro at the plate. Mm. He was 4-for-11, and in game 2, first of the doubleheader yesterday, he had 3-run scoring hits, including 2 that were well over mid-80s off the bat and exit velocity. I liked that. Another thing that you have to like is Trey Turner, who's got both of their home runs through 3 games, 2-run homers in each of his first 2 games of the season. And I thought Ryan Zimmerman started and picked up where he left off in spring training. 4-for-his-first-9 at the plate. When he wasn't getting hits, he was striking out. But I'm fine with that in today's day and age. 4 Ks in his first 9 ABs. But a 444 average through these couple of games. They didn't play him in the 3rd game. But I like what I've seen from Ryan Zimmerman. It was 4-for-8 before a pinch-hitting opportunity in game 3.
Echo all of those. I keep coming back to Steven Strasburg. The 1A key for me for this team this year was, are the big three going to be the big three? And last time we saw Steven Strasburg, he was doing the thing where he was wringing his hand out there and his wrist on the mound, and it wasn't good. He threw like 5 innings last year and had to go on the shelf and get surgery in the offseason on his arm. Please be alarmed by that. Oh my God, are you kidding me? We still got so much time left with him. But he was his nasty, electric, awesome, excellent self. Looked like he hadn't missed the day. Looked like postseason Steven Strasburg yesterday. That is a great sign for this roster. I also like what I saw, by the way, from the Kyles. I know Finnegan ended up giving up a run there, but the McGowan and Finnegan tandem, the two Kyles out of the bullpen, I went, all right, that's pretty legit. McGowan's slider is dark, and Kyle Finnegan throwing 98? Kyle Finnegan throwing 98?
Yeah, Finnegan's second outing in the doubleheader performance yesterday, not the opening day game. Struck out the side. He touched 98 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he got a game high 4 swings and misses on like 13 pitches or something like that. Ridiculous.
Him look nasty.
You're right about McGowan. He's pitched 2 times, 2 1/3 innings of 1 strikeout, hitless, perfect baseball to this point. So hopefully he can keep that up. Couple things I'm discouraged by. I'll start with Tanner Rainey.
Go on.
Tanner Rainey in the spring had this outing where he was throwing 92 miles an hour when he came back from a few weeks off
and threw a strike.
He said he was fine. Everything's going to be okay. I'm not worried about this at all. I was, but Tanner Rainey wasn't.
Hand up for worry.
And he basically said, don't be worried, Grant. Don't be worried, everyone. I'm going to be great. Center cut, very hittable, fairly flat 96-mile-an-hour fastball got turned around for a two-run homer in a scoreless game by Pablo Sandoval. Rainey is an important member of this bullpen, even when you have all hands on deck. But in a world without Brad Hand, your closer right now, and Will Harris, who might be your closer in a non-Brad Hand situation, Rainey becomes the lights-out guy in the back end. He's your door slammer. We've seen him once. Tiny sample, won't make a big deal out of it, but the velocity is not what it was last year still, and that was not what I was hoping for after coming out of the spring not feeling confident. Like, to the point where I got a buddy that I do a fantasy league with, and he's going, Rainey's available. Let's get him for some low whip, some, you know, and I'm like, no. I don't like anything I'm seeing from him. So then the first outing of the year, he gives up a two-run home run. Didn't change how I felt. Also, kudos to Max. This is why he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He has the terrible start to his outing where most guys would cave and fall all over the place and trip and would just look terrible by the end of the game. Max is able to lock it in, punch out nine, go six innings, keep his team in the game, they get a win. But we're now monitoring Scherzer in a way where he's always had the solo home run thing. But if you go back to last year's sample, I'm not making a ton out of this start, but what is Scherzer now? I mean, he is going to be 37 years old. Is he still Cy Young caliber, front of the rotation, top five pitcher in Major League Baseball, Max? Or is he just a really good starting pitcher? And that's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I happen to think it's the second one. And there's no shame by the way, being in your upper 30s with your Hall of Fame resume already in Sharpie. Like, he's excellent. He had an unbelievable time, and he still could be a very effective pitcher. I think he's got to do more to do the same. And I think that's the first sign of aging kind
but
of getting
to that will
you.
Make it a lot harder for them to do what you and I want them to do this year. If Scherzer is going to be a guy with an ERA, say, at 3.6 or even 3.3, rather than being 2.8, 2.9. There's a big, big difference there.
Absolutely.
And when you're thin on starting pitching with everybody, which they are, Joe Ross is a fifth starter.
What about without everybody?
Now you don't have Lester. Now you don't have Corbin. That's not going to fly.
Right. So I got him third in the division, frankly. I think that's one of the factors. The other guy I would add is Wander Suero. I think I need to not have Wander Suero in inning 7, 8, 9 as a high leverage Harry, because you don't know which guy's coming out of the bullpen.
But right now, you don't have much of a choice.
Well, right now, I know. Clearly, right now, who else is available. But just generally, there are times where he looks like one of the most unhittable people on this planet.
I love his stuff.
And you go, this is gross. He's throwing that kind of split change thing, and the cutter's nasty, and this riding fastball, and this breaking ball. Next thing, he's hitting the mascot. He's, throwing a cement mixer and gets tattooed. It's impossible to tell which guy is going to post each time.
I'm going to give you a comp that I think will hit home for you for Wander Suero and his Nationals experience for me so far. Blake Treinen.
Got a lot of Treinen in there.
Tantalizing stuff. And you see him on the right day, you go, that guy will be one of the better closers in baseball in a couple of years. And I just keep waiting, and I keep telling everyone, give him some time.
Give him some time.
It's been a lot of time, by the way.
Yeah.
But just wait. I promise. It's happening. It's like telling someone, to just hang around. He's going to be here. And you keep looking at your watch. An hour goes by.
I know him, and he's dependable.
Now,
he'll be
fairness,
here.
Now, in fairness, Blake Treinen did become an all-star, and he was the best closer in baseball for a year and a half. But it wasn't here.
No, it wasn't here.
You waited for a long time, and it never happened. Wander Suero is filthy, and then the next day, it's a very different experience.
Even within the same outing. I mean, early on, he's just throwing 41-foot curveballs and is getting tattooed. The next thing you know, he locks it in and throws aspirin tablets covered in shadow.
Overall, shouldn't be overly reactionary. 1-2, if they were about to play a bad team.
Like, if they're going to Pittsburgh.
If they were going to Pittsburgh right now, this would be such a different conversation. I'd be elated. You almost took a series from the Braves, and you're going to get 2 out of 3 from the Pirates?
Yeah.
Let's rock and roll. Going to L.A. makes me
feel
a Dodgers
and Cardinals after that, man. Cardinals are no slouch.
At least they're only 4-2, and Dylan Carlson's hitting a homer every time you turn around. So the schedule's not going to be easy, and it's not about to let up. But something to be encouraged by, I think you can pull out of both offense and pitching from that first series. John Carlson coming up next on Grant and Danny at 2:45. What does Carly think about having fans back in the stands at Capital One Arena As of right now, the Caps are one of two teams in America, NHL-wise, non-Canadian clubs, that have no plans on returning fans to the stands. They could be the only team in the playoffs without fans. We'll ask Carlson about that next.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Each and every week on Wednesdays, we're joined by John Carlson. Yesterday, because the Nationals were playing, we didn't have a show. So Carly joins us now on G&D on our BetQL guest hotline. What's up, John? How you been?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Doing solid, man. Feeling good. The weather's incredible. How you guys been playing? It's so awesome. Give me kind of your assessment generally of what you've been seeing as you guys have been going through these games here.
Yeah, I think we did our job against New Jersey, but the road trip was definitely not a success for us, and maybe a good time to have a big reminder and just how hard you have to work to win hockey games, and they're only going to get harder and harder as the year progresses, and we got a lot to work on and clean up in our game to get back to the level of winning games like we were before.
What's at the top of that list for you?
I think that our D zone was probably the main area that was exploited in those losses, I would say. Obviously, I could pick out a number of different things, but there, even in our best games, there's always plenty to work on. But I think just giving up way too many chances in our own zone, not necessarily rush related, but coverage related.
You guys got the Bruins tonight. What kind of challenge do they bring?
Yeah, I mean they've been pretty much the top dogs for a long time in the Eastern Conference. Their top players that have been there for a while now have kind of platooned them to where they are, and I think they got a good contrasting cast alongside them. So they're a tough team. They're speedy. They're offensive, and they can hurt you a number of different ways.
John Carlson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. John, you guys are one of two teams in America that does not yet have a plan in place to have fans return to the stands. Curious your reaction to that.
Yeah, I would say extremely disappointed. I definitely am not an expert. I don't know what goes into making those decisions and or not making those decisions, I should say. But I just know as this season progresses and the more and more places we go with, what seems like almost no fans in some buildings, that we can't have a few dozen here or there in each section would be an awesome kind of adrenaline boost for us. And especially, I don't know if it'll happen this regular season or if it'll happen this year completely, but certainly heading towards playoffs, I would love to see some people in the stands.
We're actually talking today with one of the members of the Monumental Sports and Entertainment Network that has been in touch with the leaders in D.C. to try to make this happen. And there was a comment from her. There's a comment from Leonsis this week that you guys may not get fans in the regular season. But what now I care about is the playoffs. I mean, if you guys are the only team in the playoffs potentially among the American teams not to have a crowd, and everybody else has one, I understand that this is not the number one priority for a lot of people, but that would matter, I would think. I mean, as a team, that would probably affect you guys negatively.
Yeah, I would definitely say so, I think. And it would just, the regular season is a regular season, and whether we have fans or not, it's not that big of a deal to me. But But going into a playoff series, and I'm sure if every team that we play like we do has fans now, I'm sure they will probably have more fans as time goes on as well. And to imagine just playing in a playoff game with no fans in your own arena is really not something that I want to ever think about or certainly get used to, and hopefully that's not the case.
John Carlson with us here on Grant and Danny. What sort of messaging have you guys gotten from higher-ups? Obviously, it's plenty to get ready and play a hockey game on a nightly basis the way you guys do, but what sort of messaging have you heard about the potential for fans or, you know, vaccine-type stuff? Just what are they telling you guys?
They keep us up to date. I mean, I guess it's more of a question and answer type of deal. It's not like they're releasing us memos on what exactly is going on. I think there's certain things that leak down that we hear, we're not getting fans for a while. And I think my biggest disappointment was it sounded like it was all systems ago, you know, for right around this time that we would have people back in the stand. So I think from that sense of hearing a lot of people talk about that there was a really good chance that it would happen, I think that's the most frustrating and disappointing part for me, is thinking that they would be back by now.
Have you guys as a team had any kind of opportunity to get vaccinated, or are you guys all doing it on your own like the rest of us, just individually outside of the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, it's not our turn to hit that line yet, but I think certain guys, if they have certain you know, medical exemptions, have been able to go at their leisure, and you know, everybody's case is obviously different and whatnot, but from my standpoint, no, that we haven't really dabbled into that yet.
Is it the type of thing where guys are chomping at the bit, or is it one of those, you know, whenever my turn is, because I'm in incredible world-class shape and I'm in my 20s?
Yeah, I think it's like everything else. I think it's a personal decision. I think some guys feel strongly one way or another, and you know, I'm kind of just, we'll see when it's my turn, and I'll make a decision on that day, kind of thing. So everybody's got different levels of worries, you know, one way or another, and it's certainly not being mandated in any way.
John Carlson on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Back to hockey for a second. The two teams that you're competing with the most in your division, I'd say right now, are probably the Penguins and the Islanders. The Isles made a big trade, brought in a couple of key pieces with the deadline coming up. I mean, how closely do you follow those things when, you know, a team you're going toe-to-toe with, seem to be even with right now, gets a little bit better at the deadline, and how active are you in trying to advocate to make a move here or there that you think's necessary?
Well, I'm not advocating for anything. I think we have a great team right now. I think we got a lot of depth that we have, a lot of people haven't even seen, you know, get the opportunity to play this year. So, I'm not in any of those discussions. I guess maybe if a team kind of knows you've played with someone or know something, maybe that's a different story, but just to get some more insight into somebody. But from my standpoint, absolutely not. I'm just sitting and watching the news like the rest of you guys are, and seeing what's happening. And I know that, you know, whatever they think is going to be the best for our team is probably what's going to go and happen. So I feel really good about our team. I don't think anybody would disagree with that, but if we have a chance to get better, I'm sure we'll do it.
John, thank you as always, buddy. Good luck tonight, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Looking forward to watching Carly and the Caps on the ice tonight. You can hear the game right here at 7 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan. Next, conflicting reports on whether or not the Washington football team will trade up into the top 10. Which are you hoping comes to fruition? You're listening to Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.